The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. I got an email from a catechist last week who said to me, "How do I teach this to my kids? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Should it not rather say, blessed are those who are poor in everything but the spirit?" And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because now that spirit kind of becomes a possession, doesn't it? Something that we have. And I don't think that that's the spirit of what Jesus is speaking about. You see, Jesus became one of us so that he would enter into the mystery of our existence. There is something that God did not know. He knew, of course, everything. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows all of our thoughts. He knows all of our actions. He knows all of our futures. All of that is known to him, but he never was able to see that through a human perspective, so that he would actually enter into that experience. It's a different thing to recognize another person's suffering, but to enter into the center of that suffering and share it is a whole different reality. It's compassion, isn't it? It's empathy. It's the ability for us to recognize and to embrace what it is about other people, rather than simply to evaluate and sometimes to judge and sometimes to decide whether or not we can accept or reject what it is we discover. That's where the humans start to make mistakes. So when Jesus talks about the poor in spirit, I think he simply is talking about how if we compare ourselves to God, God is so great and so wonderful and so awesome, and not in that kind of colloquial sense of awesome, but awe-inspiring, so completely other than who we are, that if we were not to accept the fact that we were poor in spirit, it would be pride. It would be arrogance. And isn't that the sin of Adam? Isn't that the sin of every, it's the basis of every sin in our world today? How different the world would be if at all those important junctures of history, people had just known a little humility instead of this kind of thirst for power and prestige, control. A little humility goes a long way. I even think about instances in my life as a priest when I see things happening and I'm like, why can't there just be a little humility here? It's all we need. So that poor in spirit, I do find it interesting because in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There's an inheritance that's based on this perspective of being humble that is necessary. It's not just a good thing, it's necessary. So in the second reading, then, we hear who it is that God actually chose. He chose those who were not wise by human standards. He chose those who were not powerful, with no noble birth. He chose the weak to shame the strong. He chose the lowly and the despised. That was all in that entrance hymn today, wasn't it? We prayed that. He chose those who were nothing in this world to reduce those who think they are something. He says, boast only in the Lord. So it's with this idea that Jesus now, he looks at the crowd that's in front of him. The gospel says he saw the crowd. He knew exactly what they were going through at this particular time. He entered into their human existence in a way that was more aware, self-aware, than even those people that he knew. And he recognized all of these things that people were seeing as stumbling blocks or detrimental to who they are. And as the Son of God, only the one who is God and man is able to look at this world in our human experience and be able to see beyond to the corresponding reality in the kingdom of God. So he lists these things. A professor of mine in seminary said that the Beatitudes are the New Testament version of the commandments. Right? It's no longer a thou shalt not, but it is thou now know who you are and that these things are how God calls us to be. Not prideful or arrogant, but literally to be poor in spirit, because it is in our poverty that we recognize the need to improve or to grow. Nobody ever gets better if they're comfortable, right? How many times do we improve ourselves? If everything's just fine, I don't need anything to be different than it is. That's when we just start to skate. But God wants us to feel that challenge, to recognize that all of these things are worthwhile. So poverty of spirit is worthwhile. Mourning is worthwhile. And I know a lot of people, and myself included, when you mourn the loss of someone, that sounds a little strange, but it's a challenge. Being meek is worthwhile, not being powerful or in charge. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is worthwhile. And then he gives us some qualities that we need to be merciful, clean of heart, makers of peace, even persecuted for Jesus' sake. And then he gives us the corresponding reality as it's seen from the perspective of heaven. That was the perspective from earth. He's got one foot on earth, one foot in heaven. Now he's going to give us the perspective from heaven. He says, yours is the kingdom. You will be those who inherit. You will be comforted. You will be satisfied. You will be shown mercy. You will see God. You will be called children of God. Your reward will be great in heaven. He sees us from the inside, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's able now to show us who we are in our human experience, our human existence, as the perfect human being who knows us and wants to say, it's okay. It's okay. This is what it is to be a human being, but I'm here to tell you there's more. And the more that I'm promising to you is so great that all of this is worthwhile. If only we stay close to God, always practice that ability to know that he is alongside us into whatever place we go, in whatever situation we find ourselves. He is there in the center of our relationships. You might not think so sometimes, but he is, because he's everywhere. And he is there to know exactly, to help us to know exactly where we are going. So doesn't it make sense then to always turn to him? Always turn to God, talk to God. Because he has made these promises as he looked out at the crowd and he saw how troubled and perhaps how beaten down and perhaps how broken they were. He wanted to say, it's okay. There's more.